Join me in Luke's Gospel. I wasn't completely aware of how much pressure it would be on a preacher to come up with a message on Christmas Day. It was a little more than I was expecting. So I pray the Lord is pleased. In the first and second chapter of Luke, I will be reading several passages. I'd like for you to note the title that I have given this here today. It is called The Five Hymns of Christmas. I'll first be reading in chapter 1, beginning at verse 39. Hear these words from the pen of Luke, but of course from the Holy Spirit. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Here is the first of five hymns that I'd like to bring to you this morning. First of all, just a word about a hymn. We are most accustomed to hymns being laid out in the hymnal that you've sang from twice already this morning. But a hymn is very basically a form of literature. A gathering of words in a prose or in paragraph form, which gives praise or adoration or acclamation in some way. And so there are many, many hymns throughout Scripture that you will see identified simply by the words that are used in their adoration or acclamation of God. Revelation has many, many hymns that will be just one or two sentences. But I want to bring you here this morning five hymns, the first one being this one from Elizabeth, as she was greeted by Mary, as Mary came to visit to share with her the good news. This hymn I have subtitled, The Hymn of Love. The Hymn of Love. First of all, in Elizabeth's joy, she sang out, she spoke out in a very loud voice, "Blessed are you among women." Now, was it Elizabeth's place? Did Elizabeth have the capacity to bestow a blessing upon her and then say these words, "Blessed are you among women"? Well, no, of course not. She is simply making an acknowledgement. Blessed are you among women, that you are so loved, that you are so cared for, that you have found favor in God's eyes, that you, Mary, are identified to carry that child. Blessed are you among women. We see this aspect of love that God has. First, for mankind, that He would choose this way to bring His Son into the world, but then most particularly for Mary. But then we also see love and blessed is the child you will bear. We see this in that she is acknowledging the child, the Christ child, because she goes on to say the mother of the Lord. And so we see this aspect of love. But then can you imagine Elizabeth's true feelings of how greatly she is favored, that the mother of the Lord, that God would have it in the way of Mary to come and greet Elizabeth as she did, for Elizabeth to have her own place in the love of God as that in the way that she would bear John. But she was favored greatly by Mary. She was thought of greatly by Mary. We see this aspect of love. And blessed is she who had believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. So the first hymn that I would bring out to you here in this Christmas season that I would ask for you to remember is the hymn of love that God has shown to mankind, more particularly to Mary. The second hymn, one we're very familiar with, it's Mary's Song. Many of you may have heard of it referred to as the Magnificat. It is Mary's Song. I'll identify it as a hymn of faith. A hymn of faith. Listen to these words from the first chapter, verse 46. And Mary said in responding to Elizabeth, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." She is making reference to God Almighty, but she is speaking of also the Lord that will be from her own body. It is a hymn of faith. She is acknowledging a faithfulness in what God has done and what God will do. God will honor her, a most humble servant. And she acknowledges in this song, in this hymn of faith, her own faith in what God will continue to do. That God will make manifest what He has set out to do, just as the prophets have said, just as God has made covenant with Abraham. It is a hymn of faith, because Mary has great faith in what God will accomplish through this most humble of servants. Thirdly, the third hymn is a hymn of hope. And it is Zechariah's song. We find at the end of chapter 1, Zechariah, of course, is the father of John the Baptist. And he speaks out greatly. But look at his empowerment. Begin reading at verse 67. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and he prophesied. Remember, John the Baptist is the last of the Old Testament prophets. Here his father is standing in that same tradition, bearing out prophecy, speaking of that which will come to pass. He speaks of a great hope because of that which is coming. Jesus has not yet been born, but we see these words spoken. "Praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and redeemed His people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He said through His holy prophet of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath He swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before Him in all our days. And you, my child," he's now speaking of John, "and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for Him, to give His people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven, to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace." Prophecy. Prophecy. But do you notice the language of the prophecy? It is an accomplishment term. He will do such as this, and He has done such as this. It is an assurance from Zechariah, because it is not Zechariah speaking. It is not Zechariah speaking from his own heart. But it is who? The Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit using Zechariah as an instrument, just as He did all of the Old Testament prophets, to speak the very Word of God. What did Zechariah have to say? Verse 68, praise to the Lord, the God of Israel, because He has come and has redeemed His people. Do you think it's somewhat strange or odd that so many of the teachers of this time, so many of the prophets of this time, so many of the Pharisees and the scholars of this time, they could not make that statement? They could not identify Jesus Christ, the baby, as the Redeemer. Why? Because the Holy Spirit was not in them. It was the Holy Spirit through Zechariah that identified Jesus Christ as the Redeemer. Because He is the Redeemer, just as the prophets have said long ago, these things will be accomplished. Salvation will come from our enemies. We will be delivered from the hand of those who hate us. Mercy will come to our fathers, and He will remember His covenant to us. And because He remembers His covenant, these things will take place. This hope we have that we will be rescued, we will be enabled to serve, and we will do it in holiness and righteousness. There is a hope. There is a hope coming from Zechariah based on what the Holy Spirit has told him and given him in his heart about the birth of the coming Christ child. It is a hymn of prophecy. It's a hymn of hope. A hymn of hope. When they went to share the news with the shepherds, I read a portion of it this morning, verse 13 of chapter 2. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." I like the short, simple hymns. Because this message is coming from the messenger, coming from the messengers of God. What is the purpose of an angel? An angel's job in some ways would be rather simple. They have two things. Worship God, provide His message to His creation. That's it. Here, they are doing exactly that. Glory to God in the highest. The angels are worshiping God. God the Father? No. The little one that is born, laying in a cradle, laying in that manger. Glory to God in the highest. They are worshiping. But then their message. And on earth, peace. Jesus Christ, His name means salvation. And peace will come to the earth. Because of Him. But it would only be peace. It would only be peace to those whom the Father has favored. There are so many that confuse the message of peace from Jesus Christ. Yes, He came to bring peace to the world. But it will not be peace to all worldly generations or worldly societies. There's only one place. There's only one way. There's only one means of peace. And that is Jesus Christ. We pray today. We pray for the peace of Israel. Does that mean that we pray for no war in Israel? Maybe. But when we pray for peace, we should more directly be praying for salvation of those people. Because that is the only true peace. Here the angels are identifying that Jesus Christ, glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to those whom the Father favors with knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is a hymn of praise. It is a hymn of worship. We have many, many hymns in our own books. in our own minds, in Scripture here, that are hymns of praise, hymns of worship. It is what we are to be about. Then finally, the fifth hymn of Christmas, on down in chapter 2, it is the one from the layman, from the worker in the temple. We believe he was not a priest, but it is Simeon, who God had said, you will not die until you see the Christ. You will not die until you see the Messiah. That was the message from God to him at some point in his life. Hear his word. Hear his hymn in response to what God has given him. Verse 28 of chapter 2, Simeon took him, the baby Jesus, who Mary and Joseph had brought to the temple in accordance with the Old Testament law. 40 days after their purification, they could come to the temple. Here they come to bring Jesus to the temple. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. This is a hymn of assurance, or from Simeon's perspective, a hymn of resignation, not of quitting, but a hymn of resigning, meaning that he has seen what God has promised him, so therefore he can resign to his place. He has seen salvation. He has seen what God has said he would see, and so now he can be resigned. He can take his place if the Father chooses to dismiss him, bring his life to an end. That he's prepared for that because he has seen salvation. He said, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised me, you may now dismiss me, and I will go in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light to the Gentiles, but then also glory to your own people of Israel. Now, here we have five hymns, sort of bracketing the event of the Christmas story. The event of the Christmas story. I'd like to bring this now to you in a form of application. I said in my prayer earlier that I would pray that Christmas could be enjoyed and Christmas could be a part of our lives all through the year, not just the last couple of weeks of December. These five hymns allow us to make that application. The five hymns, love, faith, hope, praise, and resignation. In our daily Christian lives, we begin with a hymn of love, because it was love of God the Father who sent His only Son to take on man's sin so that you might have salvation. His love for you. The hymn of love. The hymn of love begins our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And then out of that hymn of love, out of that love of God for us, we can then possess, just as Mary did, a hymn of faith. Because it is through faith that you have been saved, and that is by grace. And it is a what? A gift. Because God loves you, He gifted you. He gifted me with faith. And so just like Mary, I can sing a hymn of faith. because of what God has done. And then out of that hymn of faith, out of the love that is shown us through God the Father, should there not be hope? Should there not be hope among us? Just as Zechariah prophesied of what would take place, we have many, many, many scriptures of prophecy that are yet to take place that we can look to and have hope in. Is Jesus Christ coming back again? It is prophesied that He will. Will Jesus Christ be with you as you walk through these tough, hard, troublesome days? He said He would. How do you know that a prophet is true? How do you know that a prophecy given by a prophet is trusting and reliable? There's only one way. Has his previous prophecies come to pass? Has God's previous prophecies come to pass? Oh, yes. Then will you have confidence in His future prophecies made to us in this age, that they too will come to pass? Absolutely. So we can have a hymn of hope. We can have a hymn of hope. And then we get to this nature of response. We have seen the love of God. We have been gifted by it with a gift of faith. And out of that love and out of that gift of faith, we have hope. Then what is your response, Christian? What is your response to those things that come from God to you? Just as the angels did. Glory to God in the highest. We worship. We worship. We have a hymn of praise. We worship. And then in all of those things, we should have finally and completely a hymn of resignation. A hymn of assurance. Based on the love, based on faith, based on hope, and based on that hymn of praise. We have great assurance. Can you say the same words that Simeon spoke that day? Can you as a Christian say those same words? Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now can dismiss your servant in peace because I have seen your salvation. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you should be able to make that statement based on the love of God the Father, based on the faith that has gifted you and the hope created within you, and then the praise and worship that comes from that, we should be able to speak these words in great confidence. Lord Jesus, if it be my time, I have seen salvation. So if today is the day, please dismiss me in peace. Because I have seen, I have witnessed, and I know of the salvation of God. And turn and walk away, just as I imagine Simeon did that day. We have no record of when he died. Matters none. But he had within his life the five hymns of Christmas. My prayer for you, my prayer, my hope for us, is that we would live within those five hymns all year. All year. Every day. Not just this time of year. Christmas is too big an event to quarantine it down to just a couple of days. Amen. Amen.